Let's go ahead and look to the Lord with a word of prayer. We'll get started. Father, we just thank you for this time that you've given us to slowly quiet ourselves, quiet our spirits, and listen to you speak to us. And we just thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given us to set aside to get together. We thank you for the people who will be hearing this. We thank you for those individuals, Lord. You know where they are at right now as far as their health concerns, what's going on with them personally. We pray that you just minister to them individually right now. Pray that you touch their bodies. I pray that you give them encouragement. And Lord, even the lesson today talks about that very thing, encouragement, being encouraged as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, all that you are doing today, and all that you will continue to do. We thank you for the promises that you've given to us for all eternity, that indeed we will have fellowship with you when we leave this place. But until then, Lord, we want to be able to minister to others, even if it's by just praying or just encouraging other people to just wait on you. And we thank you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Once again, the passages we'll be looking at today are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're covering verses 17 from chapter 2 and going over into chapter 3 and looking at verse 13. For those of you who are able to, please turn your Bibles and electronic devices to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. That's where we're going to start today. And the theme of today's lesson is specifically about being faithful to the Lord. And specifically in these passages, it's going to talk about Paul and his letter to the Thessalonians, about longing to see them, and also Timothy, who is also being written about here, and his encouraging of the members and the people with his presence. And that's something that's very important for us to see, too, is that it's very tough for us to be able to get out and visit people at the assisted living facilities or at Forest Hills Place or any place else for that matter. But we still want to find ways, and that's what this Bible study is doing, is finding ways to encourage everyone, encourage one another. You are not alone. We are all going through very similar things right now, where we've had to spend most of our time in the house as opposed to getting out and socializing, and that's been, frankly, discouraged for the most part. So we want to make sure that we are still finding ways, creative ways, ways that are going to be beneficial for everyone involved to share and to encourage one another. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and start reading the passages. I'm going to start with verse 17 and read all the way through to verse chapter 3, verse 13. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. For those of you who are following along, please note that you can read your own version and the version that you prefer as well, which would be helpful. And so with that in mind, let's start with verse 17. Dear brothers and sisters, after we were separated from you for a little while, though our hearts never left you, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you again. We wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. After all, what gives us hope and joy? And what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns? It is you. Yes, you are our pride and joy. Finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. But you know that we are destined for such troubles. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come, and they did, as you well know. That is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. Verse 6, now in chapter 3. But now Timothy has just returned, bringing us good news about your faith and love. He reports that you always remember our visit with joy, and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. So we have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong in your faith. It gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord. How we thank you for God, how we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again, to fill the gaps in your faith. May God our Father and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May He, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all His holy people. Amen. Okay, that was 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17 to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. And we have a lot to cover here, and we'll do so. First of all, let's go back to the top of the passage in chapter 2, verse 17, and look again at verse 18, because I want you to see what is happening here and what not just Paul or Timothy or the Thessalonians are facing. They're all, everyone who is following the Lord is facing this very thing. Look what it says again in verse 18. We wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. Huh. That's something that is a very, very real thing that all believers have to deal with. Satan wants to interrupt, inhibit, prevent, push aside any believer in any effort whatsoever to try to make you fall off course or find a way to damage your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Bottom line, Satan's not a figment of anyone's imagination. Satan is real. Satan is called the God of this age. If you were to look at a passage, 2 Corinthians 4:4 talks about how Satan is the God of this age, the ruler of the kingdom of the air in Ephesians 2:2. And the simple reason for that is that we are all living in Satan's domain. The world, this place where we live, is ultimately the domain where Satan is. We know that he has the ability to disrupt. He has done that. He has done a great job of disrupting. He has done a great job of inhibiting people. He has done a great job, frankly, of inhibiting even churches from gathering. That's something that we need to recognize and understand. So praise the Lord that we have Facebook or other forms of communication like this online where we can gather together, and we have gathered together as a church. And that's something that we never would have foreseen in the way we see it now until we get faced with this earlier in the year where we had no other decision other than to find a way for all of us to be able to gather together. And this is the way we're doing it, and we're finding that it has been very beneficial. And you know, when you get right back to the basics, honestly, recognizing that Satan wants to stop you, when you get back to the basics and get into the Word, you find that the Word is sufficient. The Word is all you need to be able to get through and to be able to get through situations like this one that we're in today. The Word will get us through. So we don't really know what Paul was talking about specifically when he was trying to return to Thessalonica. We don't know what he was dealing with specifically. We don't know if it was about just general opposition. We don't know if it was about illness. We don't know if there were travel complications. And we don't even know if Satan made a direct attack against Paul or not. But that's really not important. The most important thing we need to understand here is that Satan's going to do things to mess you up a little bit, to try to keep you off track. And frankly, we just need to make sure that we need to know that if you are in for doing God's work, you're going to face opposition. You're going to face difficulty. You're going to face situations where it's not going to be pleasant. But if you know that you're following the Lord, this is what is to be expected. If you can, follow along. I'm going to read you Ephesians 6:12. I have in the English Standard Version, there's a passage here that we need to understand about how Satan goes about his business. And Satan will use himself to personally attack you, or use his followers to attack you. That's something that we need to understand. And so it says in verse 12 of Ephesians 6, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." And if you'll allow me license, I'm going to read the passage that follows that on Ephesians 6:13. It says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." So we need to understand that we're going to face the opposition. It's not going to be prevented. It's going to be maybe impeded, or maybe the Lord will be able to help you withstand what you're going through. But what is our responsibility? Put on the full armor of God. What is the full armor of God? His word, trusting in his word, having faith, believing in him. Those are all things that work like a suit of armor to protect you from any fiery arrows or whatever that Satan is trying to throw and launch at you. We need to rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ to give us strength, to give us what we need to sustain when Satan attacks. And Satan attacks on a more personal level, for some of you who are in the audience listening, Satan attacks sometimes by allowing our health to be affected, having really bad days sometimes, as opposed to having what we would call days that are okay. Sometimes he attacks us that way. Sometimes he wants us to feel pain and misery for the sake of saying, well, God's not going to help you through this. God's not going to do anything. You just have to withstand that, and you have to endure that. That is part of what our faith is. We sometimes have to endure tremendous hardship and pain. And sometimes it just comes by going minute by minute and saying, Lord, you are faithful. Lord, you are faithful. Lord, you are the great physician. You're the great healer. Lord, you can beat this thing back. Lord, you can help me to manage this pain moment by moment to get me through the day. And sometimes that's what needs to happen. Sometimes we just need to make sure that we are recognizing, and sometimes we are challenged by God himself to call on his name and ask him for help in any situation like this. That is what I know I've learned that personally. I know that that's something that in a very dark moments in my life when things weren't going very well, it was a challenge for me to make sure that I'm calling on the Lord's name and not forgetting what I was taught and not forgetting what I was given as far as instruction on what to do when there's a tough situation. And sometimes we do forget, unfortunately, when things aren't going well, but we are reminded that God is always present. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. So we need to always keep that in mind. And Paul was trying to get back to the Thessalonians to see how they were doing, because he knew that they were being persecuted. He knew that they were being attacked. He knew that they were facing all kinds of difficulty because of their own faith. The Thessalonian church was one of the more active churches in ministry, and that's something that where they were not just ministering to each other, and they weren't just ministering to people in their own town, Thessalonica. They were going out to other locations and ministering as well, too. And so we know when they identified themselves that they were greatly persecuted by people around them. And so as we will read later on in the passage that we're covering today, that frankly, Paul was concerned, were they still faithful because of all the attacks they had received? Because we know that it's Satan's goal to make believers either unfaithful or not trust in the word or not trust in the Lord in their circumstances. So that's what the goal is for Satan, is to cause trouble for God's people. That's what he does. That's what he does very well, frankly. And we need to just overcome that. We need to just keep fighting. Keep fighting through, praying and seeking after the Lord in these situations to make sure that we don't lose hope, that we don't lose heart, and that we always remember that God is as close as you just speaking the words, Lord, help me. Lord, be with me. Lord, here I am. Help me through this situation. So let's go now back to the passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Starting with verse 1. I'm going to read it again just for a refresher. Finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles that you were going through. And that is exactly what we were just talking about here. Timothy was being sent. Paul couldn't go, and Paul couldn't get there. And we have to understand that he just made the declaration there in verse 1. They had to stay in Athens, Greece. And so Timothy was sent to come and visit you. And so we need to understand something about the troubles that they were experiencing. Sometimes people will try to make a conclusion that the troubles that you're facing from Satan are because, well, you're lacking in faith. Well, you just haven't prayed enough. Well, you just haven't done this, you haven't done that. Well, first of all, that's unbiblical. There's nothing to support that a person, by experiencing trials, is automatically being branded to be unfaithful or undedicated to what the Lord is doing. That is not true. We need to make sure that we never say something like that to someone and say they need to just do more of something. They need to certainly keep focused on what God was having them to do. That's the most important thing. But ultimately, what it comes down to is that the trials that we experience as believers may be being allowed by God to do what? To reinforce you and your relationship with Him. That's what we need to see here. We need to understand that these trials that are taking place are not just something that Satan is doing. God allows Satan sometimes to do these things to help strengthen us. Now, you probably won't want to hear that, and you don't really want to go along with that. Well, you don't need to go along with it. The reality is that God does allow a lot of things to happen in our lives. And if we're being honest about that, we know that's the case. We know that God is allowing things to happen. And those things are frankly being done to help us as believers deal with the persecution and build your character. Go to James chapter 1 if you have the ability to do so. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And this is something that we need to understand. James, first of all, is a book written specifically to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a very specific audience for this particular passage, and that's for believers. And we need to understand that we as believers need to understand that we are experiencing things sometimes that God allows to help us to learn and develop and grow. Sometimes we are hard-headed human beings. We need to have reinforcement when it comes to our faith and believing in things. Some people know enough not to touch a hot stove. Some people will go ahead and touch that hot stove because they aren't convinced that something's going to happen to them. Well, we all learn different ways, and I would challenge you and hope that you would not be the one who would want to touch a stove to find out if it's hot or not, if the stove's been on. Look at James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Okay, so there is a full effect by the testing of our faith. There's a full effect when we are steadfast. It builds character. It helps us also to persevere. We need to learn as believers to persevere. One of the things that's very important, even in athletics, sometimes it requires us to just have stamina to be able to get through and persevere through situations when the game is on the line. You've got to be ready to move and ready to go when it's time to make plays and time to do things to win the game. And for those of us in athletics or who have been played in games, we may not have been the best athletes, but we understand that sometimes the best athletes don't win games. Sometimes it's the people or the participants in the game that are the most persevering through situations. Sometimes it's just those individuals who get it done. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, state not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Perseverance, it produces character, it produces hope, and we need to understand that it is the Holy Spirit who is with us throughout that entire process to help us to learn, to teach us, to help us to grow, to mature us in our faith. I'm sad to say there are a lot of very immature Christians out there, because when the time gets tough, some of them just give up, and that's just not what God would have you to do. You're not supposed to just give up. You're not supposed to just sit back and basically allow yourself to be put on the sidelines because times get tough. God's trying to teach you in those situations. He's not trying to beat you down. And I think that that's what needs to happen, where people need to learn more about their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about always getting candy and gum and good things and gumdrops. Sometimes tough things are going to happen, and we have to be able to deal with those things as they come. So he is helping us to persevere through those things. The other thing that's really important about this passage too, back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, about being able to persevere, is that sometimes it helps us to be sensitive to others who are going through a hard time. You know, the one thing that we need to make sure that we're always doing as a people, and this is for everyone in the audience listening, you can always pray for someone. You may not necessarily agree with what's happening in someone else's life. You may not even like the person, but you can always pray for that person. You can always pray for them and hope that they indeed do get through their tough situation. And I think that it's important for us to be sensitive to others. We have members in the body of Christ who can be very insensitive. And that's only because they're truly not relying upon God's teaching. God's teaching is about loving everyone regardless of what they're going through, what you're going through. You love them anyway. That is always going to be the preliminary guideline that you're going to have when dealing with other people. Love them anyway. Love them even though you may not agree with them. Love them even though they're having a hard time and you don't know why they're having a hard time, but you can certainly pray for them. You're not going to avoid problems, but you can be, in fact, looked upon if you're going through difficulty and troubles. It may be a sign that you're doing the right things. It may be a sign that you're doing effective Christian living. And so we need to understand that it's important for you as a believer, in spite of hard times, be prayerful and be ready to pray for other people in those circumstances. So that was the important part to cover in that particular section there, making sure that we are doing everything we can to remain focused on the Lord Jesus Christ in spite of difficulties, in spite of troubles, and understand that we need to make sure that we are, pardon me, we are sharing with others that they can indeed endure too, because you are walking alongside them. Take a look real quick at 2 Corinthians for those who can, and I'll be reading the passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. It's very important for us to walk together in Christ no matter what we're going through. Don't ever let a believer who is going through a hard time go through it alone. Don't ever let a person who's having a hard time go through it alone. Now, if that person decides to shut you out of their life, that's their decision. But you can always tell that person, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to walk with you through this in prayer. I won't bother you. I won't pester you over it. I know that you're going through a hard time, but I can pray for you, and I can pray for you as often as necessary to help you get through the situation. Because we know there's another passage that says that the prayers of the righteous are very powerful, and they will gain much, avail much towards the cause. So God is listening to those prayers. God hears the righteous in their prayers, and God answers those prayers and provides healing or whatever is necessary to deal with the situation specific to the prayer. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, again, if you can, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, and if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Sharing the burdens of others is the key here. If you know someone is having a hard time right now, you should be praying for them, whether you even tell the other person or not. But I think it's also beneficial for you to share with the other person, you know what, I'm praying for you right now, praying for your situation. I don't have all the answers. I don't know all the answers. I'm praying that you receive wisdom in this situation as far as what the next steps are, what you need to do. I'm praying for a total healing to take place in your life. You're carrying that burden with that brother or sister, and that is what we need in the body of Christ now more than ever. You who are together with other people right now listening to this message or hearing this broadcast or looking at this broadcast, please make a note that there are people around you who rely upon the prayers of many to help endure and get through these situations that are difficult. Be prayerful. There is one thing that can't be stopped, no matter what was happening during this pandemic or anything else, and that's nothing can stop you from praying. Nothing can stop you from lifting up the name of Jesus on behalf of another brother or sister. Never stop praying and lifting those people up to the Lord, because those are the prayers that are being dealt with and answered because you are doing what is right and necessary in the body. So always keep that in mind, that you always remain prayerful for everyone, no matter what. And if it comes time to talk to someone and encourage them, and we'll talk about that more as we go further, then do so. Move according to the Spirit to speak words of encouragement to those people. You never know what a kind word will do for another person who is in need of it. You'll never know what your kind words will do to help make a person's day. And I got to tell you, I've seen it happen personally, where like, you made my day because you said something. You recognized me. You paid attention to me. You maybe even heard what I had to say. So those are things we need to make sure that we're always doing and always focusing on. Let's go back to chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. Look at verse 4 again real quick and take a look at that. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come. This is Paul speaking to the Thessalonians. And they did, as you well know, because troubles are going to come. Troubles are going to always be an issue in our lives. There's never going to be a time in your life until you leave here where you won't experience some sort of discomfort or trouble. So that's part of our life. We got that. So one thing we need to understand too is that this has to do with maturity of faith. You know, some people are going to pray to God saying, Lord, take me out of this suffering. Lord, take me out of this situation. Well, God doesn't promise that just because you have a relationship with him that he's going to keep you from suffering. There is nothing like that in Scripture, and there is no promise that he will do that. And so we need to not put something in God's place. You know, certainly he could remove suffering from your life, but he also can remove you. So we don't want that, do we? We want to be willing and able and ready to serve him when he calls upon us. He wants us to grow through our sufferings. He gives us the power to do so, because that is how you mature and become more like him, frankly, as you learn more about him. Now, when we first became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we really didn't know a whole lot. We only knew the very basic that Jesus Christ was our Lord and Savior. Well, what happens after that? That's the time for us to have grown. We are supposed to have learned more about Christ, more about our relationship with him as we got to know him. And so we need to understand that we still need to be obedient to his name, obedient to his word, as we go through temptations and hardships. Temptations. Very interesting that that's mentioned here, because There was a part in the passage, and if you go back in Luke chapter 1 and 2, where we know that Jesus himself was tempted by Satan. He had to go through temptation because he had to grow in his own ministry, learning about the sufferings of people. Now, we're speaking about the all-eternal God who knows everything, right? But we need to also understand that a lot of what we see in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, is not for Jesus' benefit, but it's for our benefit. We need to understand that he went through all of that to show us how important it was that we were to him. He wanted us to see what he went through so that we could do what? Relate to him. And so we need to understand that sometimes those sufferings that we're referring to that Jesus Christ was involved in were sufferings for our good and our benefit. He wanted us to see that you could get through these things because he got through those things. But he also did something that was very important even in the midst of all of that. He went away and found time to pray. He found time to pray, and he prayed about his own ministry, what he was involved in, what he was dealing with, and he prayed for us. He prayed for the people who were following him. He prayed for those past, present, and future who would acknowledge living a life of service for Jesus Christ. So these are all things that are very important for us to see as we look at this. Okay, so back to the passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And understand that Timothy was sent, like I had said, to make sure, by Paul, to make sure that since he was waylaid and he couldn't get to those people, Timothy was sent to make sure that the people were doing okay, that they were not being sidetracked by Satan, that the persecution they were facing was not taking their focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we go back to the passage, verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians 3, "But now Timothy has just returned, bringing us good news about your faith and love. He reports that you always remember our visit with joy and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you." Well, that's very encouraging. So we have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong in your faith. It gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord. And that's a big amen. That's the best news that Paul could have ever received, that the Thessalonians, in spite of persecution, were standing firm in their faith, that they weren't wavering, they didn't buckle, their knees didn't buckle, they decided to stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what was going on in their lives. And that's just a credit to the power of God, allowing them to get through those situations. And so those were words of encouragement that came back from Timothy to Paul. He was encouraged to hear that the Thessalonians were standing strong. And I think anyone would be encouraged by hearing good news like that, because that means that all the training, all the effort that you put forth in starting that church or starting that group of believers, it wasn't a waste of time. It was a very beneficial thing to do. Remember, Paul was concerned that the teaching would have been useless because they had fallen away. Well, they learned what it was to endure, and they learned what it was to stay strong in their faith, and that was an encouragement to the teachers, as well as though being those who were being taught. So we need to make sure that we as believers encourage one another. I can't emphasize enough the importance of encouraging one another. In my mind, personally, because there's only so much we can do sometimes to help people, but in my mind, prayer and having encouragement, saying words of encouragement, may be the two most valuable things that you can do as a believer right now. Certainly, charity is helpful. Certainly, if someone needs help, you help them where you can. But praying and encouraging someone are probably the most important things that you can do. We need to make sure that we are encouraging one another in the body. And you know what? Pastors need encouragement. Assistant pastors need encouragement. Pastors' wives need encouragement. The people who are leading in ministry need to be encouraged just as much as those, the people that they encourage in their congregations. They need encouragement too. It's very, very helpful for you to just to say kind words to your pastor or to the elders, or to, in some churches have deacons, just saying kind words to people, encouraging them for the work that they're doing. For those who can get out and go to a store and talk to someone who's working in the front lines in times like this, saying thank you is huge. Giving them encouragement for what they do. It may be their jobs to do those things, but it doesn't matter. You're still there to encourage one another, and we need to understand that. We also want to make sure we're encouraging people who are new in their faith. There are new believers in Jesus Christ. There are people who come to know the Lord all the time. There are people who have come to know the Lord during this pandemic because they got ministered to, they got preached to, the times were difficult, and they recognized that after all is said and done, they need a Savior. And new believers in the Lord Jesus Christ need encouragement, especially need encouragement right now to make sure that they are learning about Christ, that they're not leaving anything on the table, that they're making sure that they're spending time in the Word, they're studying in the Word, they're praying with fellow believers, they're fellowshipping with others. Maybe it means getting on a Zoom call and talking to different people and doing a Bible study about ways to be encouraged. These are all things that we all could do, we all should look at doing, especially since we can't get together in groups the way we would like to. But ultimately, we don't want to ever stop praying and encouraging others, no matter where you are, what you're doing. So I challenge you to keep that in mind as we go further in this study and look more at what we can be doing. So let's go back to the passage, back to verse 9. How we thank God for you, it says. Verse 9 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. How we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again to fill the gaps in your faith. So it's Paul's hope. First of all, he's very joyful and very thankful to God for where the Thessalonians are right now in their faith. There's still more for them to learn. They haven't learned everything. There's still more teaching that needs to be done. We all need to be taught. We're all still learning. None of us is beyond or above learning more. But Paul is encouraged here because he's thanking God because he knows that those Thessalonians are really growing, and they're growing very, very fast and growing very well. And he had every right to be concerned before because he wanted to make sure that they were not losing their momentum as far as growing in learning the knowledge about Jesus Christ. He wanted to make sure that they were, in fact, steadfast in their faith. He wanted to make sure that they were encouraged themselves in spite of what they were going through, and that they were encouraging others within their congregation, encouraging others within the city, encouraging all that they come in contact with. And so that's a reason to be thankful. We need to be thankful for our successes, because our successes are rooted in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who brings us success in ministry. He is the one who sees to it, because he is the one who provides the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that helps us through these situations. So we need to understand that these are very, very important lessons that we're learning as we go forth in our faith. And be thankful. Thank God for what you see. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for all that he has provided for you in your ministry efforts. He gives us the mind to remember to pray for other people. He gives us the mind to think outside of ourselves and encourage other people. That's what we want. That's the most that we could ever hope for. That's what we really want when it comes to our relationship with God. He helps us to know what direction to go in. He reminds us of these things too, because sometimes we need reminders. Sometimes we need reminders because there is temptation. There is the flesh. There are those things that get in the way. But thank God that he gives us the Holy Spirit to help us through those tough situations right now. So now let's go towards the end of the passage that we were covering here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. May God our Father and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. Then verse 12, and may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. That's a very, very key passage there. And then it says, verse 13, may he as a result make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. And then he says, amen. And that's always the goal. We want to be able to stand before God when the time is said and done, and then he would be coming back with us and saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Because we need to live a life in such a way where we are living for Jesus Christ. We're not living for ourselves. We're living for Christ. Yes, we may have a benefit from living for Christ, when that benefit, frankly, is going to be either good health or it's going to be he gives us what we need to sustain ourselves day by day. It may not be the best of health sometimes, but it may be something where he gives us what we need to endure day after day. And so we need to understand that that's a very important aspect. We are looking forward to our relationship with him when we finally come to him face to face. Because this is not the end. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning of a life before we have eternity. We spend eternity with Jesus Christ. But as a reminder, the only way we spend an eternity with Jesus Christ is if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ where we acknowledge who he is as Lord and Savior of our lives. We need to make sure that that is very clear. And make sure that other people who are listening to this or looking at this understand that you won't have an eternal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ without a relationship with him here today, right now, acknowledging him as Lord and Savior. Okay, so if you have questions about that, you're welcome to send me a message and I can discuss that further with you. So let's go back and look again at verse 12. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. Here's a fact. We already know that God is love. 1 John 4:8 says that. God is love. It's a very short verse, but it's a very, very important thing for us to see. His nature is love. He has a nature that is a loving nature. And if we are full of God's love, that love is going to overflow to other people. That's where that word overflow comes from. Overflowing meaning because you understand the degree that God loves you, you will not help but look at other people and love them in the same way that God loves you. It's one of those things where it just overflows. When the water rises above a dam's wall, that water is going to overflow that dam wall and fall on the other side. Well, that should be, frankly, the nature of any believer who loves God and how they interact with other people. Your love should be outflowing and overflowing to other people so that the first thing they see when they see you is that person loves the Lord Jesus Christ. That person loves God. That person loves living for the Lord. That's the first thing that people should know about you and your life. It shouldn't be a guessing game. It shouldn't be something that someone has to speculate about. Well, I wonder if that person really knows the Lord. I wonder if that person really is following God. I wonder if that person's having, you know, I know that person's having a hard time, but, you know, I always understood that person to be a really great person in the Lord and a person to go to, and perhaps that person needs encouragement right now. But you see what I just did? Even the best of us have a bad day. And so we need to be praying and looking to other people and encouraging them as well, too, so that your love overflows. The love of God in your life overflows for that other person. That's something we should always be practicing, something we should always be doing. It's not enough to be just courteous. It's great to be courteous. It's great to be respectful. It's great to acknowledge other people. But now we need to make sure that we're actively pursuing that person and showing our love for them. And I'm not saying to be a stalker about it, because that's pretty important. But we should be actively pursuing them. And how do we do that? By just coming alongside them and saying, hello, how is it going? How's life treating you? What's happening in your life? Is there something I can do to help you through and pray for at this time in your life? I mean, that's how we should be talking to people. There are a lot of people who, you know, you would just try to avoid sometimes because they might look weird or may not look the way you would like them to look. They look weird to you, but they may not be weird at all. But we don't avoid people like that. We're supposed to be going to them and encouraging them and saying hello to them and saying that, hey, you know, God loves you. You know, those are types of things that you should be communicating with people. So for those people who are around you, you know, you might look around the room and say, I don't want to talk to that person. That person acts weird sometimes. That person doesn't get me, doesn't make me feel comfortable. Well, here's a newsflash for you. Being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is sometimes very uncomfortable, and sometimes it's very inconvenient. And sometimes it's in such a way where you are going to have discomfort, but yet you are still told to do what? Love everyone. So that's the newsflash. And so it's very easy to make friends with people who you're friendly with. It's a little bit more difficult to make friends with people who you may not think right away should be friends with you. But that doesn't matter. You don't need to be friends with everyone, but you do need to be a friend to everyone. So you need to understand that being a friend to everyone, well, sometimes being, you know, in the midst of people who may not agree with you or may not like you, but that doesn't mean that you're unapproachable. You should always be approachable. You should always be a person that looks like God is in control in your life and that you love God and you want to share that love. So even though another person may not be approachable, you are to always be approachable. You never know who the Holy Spirit is going to put into your life to express words, to give encouragement, to maybe give condolences. You never know. But always be ready, because God calls us to be ready. God calls us to be ready to be encouragers, to be great encouragers for other people, even total strangers. Be ready. Our love should be growing continually as we learn to love and appreciate Jesus Christ more and more each and every day. So it's very important for us to see from these passages. We remember, again, we covered 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17 through chapter 3, verse 13. And in our next study, we'll be continuing along also in Thessalonians as well and moving forward. But what are the takeaways here? The takeaways here is that we are always ready to be encouragement to other people. We always are ready to understand that problems are going to happen. They're going to occur. Satan is real. And we need to make sure that we are always girded up with the armor of God to be able to endure those trials and tribulations. We're always ready to deal with this opposition because it can come from anywhere. But we also remember that God allows this opposition sometimes to help build our character, help build our perseverance, help build our strength, frankly. We need to be stronger in the faith. We need to be strong when it comes to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our relationship in Christ needs to be very strong. We will have weak moments, but in our weak moments, what? He is the one who gives us strength. He is the one who gives us encouragement. He is the one that helps us to remember how important it is to be obedient to His Word. If you want to help endure a lot of things that are taking place, just stay with His Word and be obedient to it. Be obedient to Christ. Don't give in to temptations. Don't give in to those things that will take your focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ. So these are all lessons that we need to remember and need to learn as we do these things. Okay, so we pretty well covered this passage and covered the importance of looking at what was going on with the Thessalonian church. They experienced great persecution. They had a really, really tough time, but yet they remained faithful. And Paul sent Timothy for just to see how they were doing, and Timothy brought back a great report saying, hey, you know what, they're doing fantastic. They're really growing. There's still more for all of us to learn. There's still more for the Thessalonian church to learn. But yet they are learning and they're growing in their faith. And frankly, they were just as much looking forward to Jesus Christ's return as anybody else, which we would see later on in the passages in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. But the bottom line is that they didn't lose sight. The ones that were really most important didn't lose sight of what was important. And for those who just felt like, well, Christ is going to return any day, I'm just going to take a couple of days off here. And they said, no, that's not what you should be doing. You need to be focusing directly on the Lord. You don't know when He's going to return. You don't know when He's coming back. And that's the same thing for us here too. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. We don't have any idea. We know that He is coming. He's made that promise. Every day that goes by is one day closer. So let's be ready. Let's be ready for Him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You that You have indeed provided wisdom to us through Your Word. We thank You for Your loving kindness We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your teaching. We thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit for every believer within the sound of my voice. We thank you for all that you have done for us and all that you will continue to do. Lord, help us to be an encouragement to others. Help us to show the love of Christ to others. Help us to be mindful of prayer and encouragement as we move forward. Help us to think outside of ourselves and think of others who are in need of someone coming alongside of them to help them through very, very tough situations. Lord, if we take the time, if we think about the people in our lives, we know that not everyone is going through a good time right now. And those are the very people that we need to be paying attention to, that we need to be praying over, that we need to remain faithful, that you will deal with those individuals one-on-one as we look to them. Help us, Lord, to come alongside them, say words of encouragement, let people know that we are praying just as much as you are. And we thank you for the good results. Lord, we know that you're the great physician, you're the great healer, you heal both spiritually and physically and emotionally. And we thank you for your healing power. Help us, O Lord, day by day. Help us, O Lord, to be reminded of your goodness. Help us to be reminded, Lord, of those things that we need to just rejoice over. Lord, you are worthy of our attention. You are worthy of our praise. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us and all that you will do. We give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, that is going to just about wrap up another Bible study for this particular session. This will be available online later for review in the event that you weren't able to see it here now. And we will be posting this later. It is on Facebook, and we will be posting it, and hopefully there will even be audio of this as well, too, for others to listen to on a podcast. But with that in mind, we just thank you for being here today. And all I can say is that it truly is a pleasure to serve the Lord. It's a pleasure to be able to do something like this, even during the middle of the day. I'm very blessed to work for a company that truly believes in community service and doing things to help the community, no matter what time of day it is. And so I'm very blessed to be able to be a part of that, and I'm blessed to be able to do this for you every second Wednesday. And we'll see if we have more programs like this at different times of the month, because there's never a shortage of Bible study time. We always need to have Bible study time. Amen. Thanks so much for being with us today. We will be circling back next time. It'll be announced when we'll be doing this again. But we look forward to having you, and we look forward to meeting with you once again. God bless you all. You take care, and we'll see you next time.